My first introduction to this vehicle came from one of my favorite movies. It's actually the villain vehicle at the beginning of this movie, and the reason why Marty travels through time. The vehicle in question was the Type 2 microbus. My first introduction to that I had seen on the streets, but Back to the Future really put it at the forefront of my eyes in my childhood. I've always been kind of intrigued by this vehicle and wanted to see what else this vehicle had from its past. It lived a long life, and similar to its counterpart, the Volkswagen Beetle, it did live a very long life. Today, Autolux is going to take a look at the Type 2 microbus. Welcome back to the Autolux Podcast. I am your host, as always, the doctor to the automotive industry, Mr. Everett J., coming to you from our main host website over at autolux.net. If you haven't been there, stop by, check it out, read some of the ratings, check out some of the reviews, and go to the Corporate Links website and find information from automobile companies around the world, big or small. We have them all on the autolux.net website. The Autolux Podcast is brought to you by Ecom Entertainment Group and distributed by podbeam.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, send it's an email over at email@autolux.net. So like I said in the beginning, we're taking a look at the number two. Now, we've already talked about the number one, or the Type 1 Volkswagen Beetle and its backstory. And we did that just before we all lost the Beetle, and we watched that very sad promotional video made by Volkswagen with the Beetle song in the background. Every time I watch it, I gotta cry about it. But unfortunately, its counterpart, the Type 2, or microbus, didn't get to live that same life. Now, the Type 2 was also known as the Transporter, the Combi, or Microbus, as we called it in North America, or the Bus, Camper, or Bully. Yeah, B-U-L-L-I, the Bully. If you don't remember, there was a concept called the Volkswagen Bully, and it actually spearheaded the reintroduction of the microbus format. It was initially the second vehicle available after the Type 1, or the Volkswagen Beetle, when Volkswagen was taken over and reintroduced back into society by the British, who now ran the manufacturing of the Volkswagen plant in Germany. They needed to find a way to make more money off of this. Yeah, the Beetle is a great car, but with this amazing platform, and everybody knows, if you can make more models off the same thing, you can turn over more money. And Volkswagen wanted to do that. And after World War II, with the British taking over the plant and its full operations, they now looked at adding a second vehicle to the Beetle lineup. Made from 1949 all the way to December 31st, yes, New Year's Eve, 2013, the Type 2, next to its sibling, the Type 1, lived a very long life. And similar to it, its life ended in South America. Today, the Volkswagen Type 2 does live on as both the multivan and the new ID. Buzz models. So it's not completely dead from the limelight, but its original concept saw it disappear. In 2001, we saw the introduction of the microbus concept, or the Bully concept, to help showcase where Volkswagen wanted to go when they wanted to bring back the Type 2. Now, unlike trying to rejuvenate the Volkswagen Beetle as they did back in the late 90s, Volkswagen was giving it some time and seeing how the van market played out. The original Type 2 was adapted from the Type 1 engine layout, so it was still a rear engine configuration, which at that point in time, people didn't realize that this would help boost the modern cargo vans of the 1960s. If you all remember, they had the Chevrolet Corvair vans, or remember even the Dodge A100. Yes, these were all vans and pickup trucks. And so was the Type 2. Now, the Type 2 gave rise to the forward control van, the Ford Econlines, Dodge A100s, Chevrolet Corvairs, and eventually the Leyland 15. But it also gave rise to vans of the future, the Citroën H van, the Renault Estefa, the Bedford CA, the front engine rear-wheel drive layout for the Ford Transit, the Nissan Caravan, the Toyota Lightace, and the Subaru Sambar. And one other thing the Type 2 did do in its lifetime is boost the camping life around the world, making it more viable for an entry from suburban and even urban climates. The microbus helped to give us the camper bus, with many different nicknames like the microbus, the minibus, and even the hippie bus or hippie van. The Type 2 came in all main forms. It was an amazing product and lived an amazing life. Ben Pond visited the factory to purchase a Type 1s for import. There he saw the original Platin Wagon, which was devised as an improvised part mover based off of a Type 1 chassis. It was used to move parts in and around the factory. The Platin Wagon was a flat deck parts mover with a driver at the rear of the vehicle, and it was only used in the factory to move these parts from place to place. But utilizing the Type 1 chassis made it so much easier for them to utilize what they were already building for something that they needed. Ben then realized that something better could be had with the van profile added over top of this, the Platin Wagon. Germany was growing up and it needed to move goods and services, and with small little streets, big semis like they have in North America won't do. They need miniature cargo vans, and with Europe having a taste for them, maybe the Type 1 chassis could be turned into a van platform. The original sketch by Ben Pond from the Netherlands was sketched off a Type 1 layout on April 23, 1947. He proposed a payload capacity of 690 kilograms or 1,520 pounds and moved with a driver to the front to maximize the payload capacity, similar to that of a pickup truck. But not moving the driver to the front to have a cab with a frontward facing engine, he wanted to keep the engine at the back to maximize the amount of space. By pushing the driver as far forward as possible, he can maximize the payload capacity. This sketch is now at the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, is where that sketch resides today. So you can actually see how the Netherlands helped create the original microbus. Now, the production would have to wait as the Type 1 was selling out everywhere and everybody wanted it. When capacity finally freed up, the Type 29 prototype was first built, and built within a short 3-month period, whereas they didn't want to drag down as much of the production as possible to keep the Type 1s moving out the door. And this was only after a few months. The initial underpinnings were from the Type 1, had to be reinforced with a ladder frame to ensure maximum payload capacity. And the engineers then used the reduction gear from a Type 82, which enabled the 1.5 van to use the same 25 horsepower flat 4 from the Type 1. So a little bit more re-engineering had to be done on this product to make it into what it was. This was done to ensure that the van was able to perform as they required to hold the capacities and move the amount of product they wanted to move. And the initial aerodynamic were poor. If you really think about it, the microbus is a giant brick on wheels. But using a wind tunnel at the Technical University of Braunschweig, they optimized the design by rounding out the corners. Pulling the windshield and the roof line into a V also helped achieve a lower coefficient of drag. So this is the days not too long after the Chrysler Airflow came out. They wanted to utilize aerodynamics to make this thing more efficient. You gotta remember, it only had 25 horsepower out of a flat 4 engine, and it needed to be able to tow it and move around pounds, like hundreds of pounds of material. So by decreasing and creating a lower coefficient of drag on the vehicle, they can maximize the fuel efficiency. The Type 2 was then ready for production as it was approved in May 19th, 1949. But from there, it took until November 12th, 1949 before the very first Type 2 rolled off the production line. Only two models were available in the first year, both the van passenger and van cargo. The combi, with two side windows and a middle and rear seats, was essentially were easily removable along with the standard commercial van, like we said, a passenger van and a cargo van. But it wasn't really big on passenger appeal at that point in time. This was eventually followed up by what we call the original microbus, May of 1950, then again by the deluxe microbus in June 1951. The first year of production was 9,541 Type 2 vans rolling off the production line. But you have to remember, they shared a production line with the original Type 1 Volkswagen Beetle. So that was actually pretty good, with only new models coming out within the next 2 years. An ambulance model was eventually added in December of 1959 after the release of the deluxe microbus. This was only due to the fact that the deluxe microbus was a stretch platform and the ambulance can utilize that to move people around a lot easier. From there, the ambulance became the main commercial van in Germany for all ambulance models. The ambulance model also had a fuel tank repositioned in front of the transaxle and then put a spare tire behind the front seat. As an added tailgate style, rear door was added in to create a new updated Type 2. This was done to better utilize space. These features would become a standard equipment on all Type 2s from 1955 to 1967. And in August of 1952, the Type 2 finally introduced this single cab pickup to the Type 2 lineup. This is long before both Ford Econoline, Chevrolet Corvair, or even Dodge A100 products hit the market. Volkswagen helped build the cab over van style truck market. All of the Type 2s lived on until they were heavily modified for the second generation, which came out in 1968. This version, the second generation of the Type 2, lived on until the end in December 31st, 2013 as a combi model. The reason why it was essentially killed off is new regulations killed off the product, similar to that of the original Volkswagen Beetle and one of my favorite cars, the Dodge Viper. The Type 2 Combi was one of the last rear-engine products ever sold by the Volkswagen Motor Group and was still built off the original Type 1 platform from the Beetle, even into its final years. But you have to remember, the Type 1 Volkswagen Beetle was built in Mexico all the way until the early 2000s before they stopped production of it. So the Type 2 was still able to utilize that platform for a decade longer. With only the T1, T2, and T3 models were similar to the original Beetle, with changes to the T4, which made it the Transporter model. Yes, the T4 was not similar to the original Beetle. Only the T1, T2, and T3 product. The T2, along with the 1939 Citroen Tub and 1947 Citroen H-Van, were among the first cab-forward control vans available in the production in the world. This was with the driver placed over the front road wheels for maximizing interior space. This started a trend in 1952 with the release of the 1952 GM Bedford CA, the 1958 RAF 977, the 1959 Renault Estafette, the 1960 BMC Morris J4, the 1960 Cormor FC, and Chevrolet Corvair Corvan, and the Greenbrier vans from Chevrolet, along with products from both Dodge as the A100 and the Ford Econoline. The new cab over pickup trucks and vans were now maximizing interior space for the world, all thanks to a platform originally developed for the Volkswagen Beetle. But unlike the competition, the Type 2 was one of the only ones with a rear engine van, with a rear engine for its van. All the other products you sat higher up in because your engine was actually in the front of the vehicle. Well, Volkswagen decided to keep a flat four shoved in the rear of the vehicle. This was to a disadvantage as you can only have barn style vans, which would impede the entry of products due to a high floor. You ever get behind a U-Haul van and they always talk about their floors are lower than the competition because they have very specific trucks with lower back frames on them. They do that so they can maximize the space where everybody else just buys a standard chassis truck and throws a box on top of it. U-Haul gets them specially made. Now, Volkswagen, unfortunately, the Type 2 had a higher floor than everyone else. Good when you're putting some drywall or anything else is sprayed at arm's length, but trying to get something big and heavy out, you have that much more of a ledge to come down from. The Type 2 microbus had many variations, with both a panel van, a double door panel van, a high roof, the combi, the bus, the taxi, the Samba bus, the flatbed pickup, the crew cab pickup, the camping van, the adventure wagon camping van, and the Sammy camping van. With commercial vans like the refrigerator vans, hearse, ambulance, police vans, fire engines, even ladder truck, rail haulers, along with a camping configurations. The microbus was one of the most versatile vans ever produced in the world. With nearly any configuration you can think of, the Type 2 microbus did it. And even in South Africa, they had Type 2 microbuses converted to ice cream trucks. Yes, those famous vehicles that all kids going chasing after. Throughout its life, the microbus had many different variations. Most of us don't think. We all think there was only one microbus, or two actually, when you think of the designs, especially if you go back and you watch Fluffy, the comedian, one of the largest collectors of microbuses in the world. He has a video where he goes through his entire warehouse filled with these things, and you start to see that there are different variations between generations and specific key points between the generations. And now we're going to talk about them. The T1 was the first generation of the Type 2 from March 8, 1950 to 1967, and from 1951 to 1975 in Brazil, it was sold under the original T1 first generation platform. It was the microbus with a split screen, or the splitty, as people called them. So if anyone refers to a microbus as a splitty, that is a first generation Type 2 microbus. The original ones were built in Wolfsburg, but changed due to a new transporter factory in Hanover, Germany. VW's second production model ever of all time was the Type 2. It used the 1100 Volkswagen air-cooled engine with 1,131 cc's pumping out 24 horsepower from a flat four-cylinder boxer engine mounted at the rear of the van. In 1951, we saw the introduction of the American Samba version, which had a biparting doors in lieu of the sliding one at the rear. The rear window count able to be able to tell them apart. It was either you had 23 windows or 21 windows. Between the very first generation and the alteration of the first generation, and there are two different variations between it. So if you count on the microbus passenger van 21 windows, you have a very first generation. If you have 23 windows, you have the altered first generation, the Samba van. The engine was upgraded in 1953 to a 1200 at 1,192 cc's. It now pumped out 30 brake horsepower. Now, this also came with a higher compression ratio, which eventually came out in 1955. 1959 saw the adoption of 40 brake horsepower version. So now we're getting into like the performance version. So the microbuses are getting a lot more powerful by the end of the 60s. Got to remember, people demanded more horsepower thanks to the muscle car era, especially in North America. The early adoption engines are a rarity on a 1951 model, as this motor was entered into production, the 40 brake horsepower. So finding a 1959 with the 40 brake horsepower is a bit of a rarity because they were still utilizing the original 30 brake horsepower engines. The early versions were known as the barn door version due to the enormous rear engine cover, which until 1955, the T1A later modified. Near the end of it, we saw later variations saw a modified body. The roofline was extended above the windshield with a smaller engine bay at 15-inch wheels for the T1B. This all changed in 1964 when the rear doors were made wider for the optional sliding door for the passenger area was added with the T1C. In 1962, the HD Transporter model was introduced, a 1,000-kilogram cargo capacity with 14-inch wheels and a 1.5-liter 42 brake horsepower engine was given to the world. This was the heavy-duty vehicle with 42 brake horsepower. When we're talking the average electric vehicle these days, even entry-level electric vehicles have over 500 horsepower. So think about the major difference between 1962 and today. In 1963, we saw the introduction of a 1500 engine with the 1,593 cc 51 brake horsepower. We're getting even bigger. This engine was added to the Beetle in 1967 with a power increase of 54 brake horsepower for the Volkswagen Beetle due to the fact that the Type 1 was lighter than the Type 2, so it made it easier to push around. 1967 was a hard year for the Type 2. It saw the end of German production of the T1, but these were still being made in Brazil, unfortunately only until 1975. The Brazilian models were not similar to the German-built T1s, though. They had small variations. The Brazil's T1 was modified with the T2 front engine in 1972 and exclusive of the vintage taillights. This lasted until 1996 and was known as the T1.5. Locally produced T1s in Brazil utilized the 1950 to 1960s era stamping dies to cut down on retooling time for their manufacturing facility. So when they took over full production, they literally just took over the entire tooling from Germany, shipped over on a boat to say, hey, yeah, you guys can still make these because you guys still love these. This was the same for the Brazil-made Beetle Fusca. In January 1964, it saw the introduction of the President Jimmy Johnson's chicken tax. Now, if you don't know anything about the chicken tax, you gotta get a little history here. And this is the reason why a lot of those midsize and compact pickup trucks that we all love and see from around the world, we always ask ourselves, why don't we have them in North America? Well, the chicken tax was a retaliation to France and West Germany's tax on U.S. chickens. This is inclusive of potato starch, dextrin, and light truck. By 1971, most of the Volkswagen trucks and vans had completely disappeared from American roads due to the chicken tax. So they started taxing American chickens because they thought they were inferior to theirs and they carried more viruses and hormones compared to European-grown chickens. President Johnson fought back and said, fine, we're going to put a whole bunch of tax on your stuff, inclusive of vans and light trucks, which still stands to this day. Ford just got nailed with it a couple years ago by bringing transit vans over from Turkey. And the reason why they managed to get them in North American shores is because they put seats inside of the vans for shipping. So they thought they were residential use vans. But the second they got here, they were commercial. If it's under commercial use, you pay a hefty tax. Ever wonder why the Subaru Baja had two rearward facing seats? Because they would have never been able to sell it in North America without those. And because of that, remember, this is 1964. This is before Germany lost production of the microbus. So essentially every American bought Type 2 microbus, this was all made in Germany, unless we actually managed to get some imported from Brazil. The main production came from Germany. But due to the new chicken tax, all of these vehicles were now gone. Fortunate for us, the Beetle was still here. From 1967 until 2013, the second generation of the microbus came out. Built in West Germany until 1979. Mexico from 1968 to 1994. Brazil, 1976 to December 31st, 2013. Argentina, 1980 to 1986. Were the four main production facilities. Yes, Mexico had them, but that's also because they also built the Volkswagen Beetle. Same with Brazil. But if you notice, Brazil was the last place it was manufactured in 2013. The second generation came with a four-speed manual or three-speed automatic, and they were also known as either the T2, T2A, T2B, or late bay, or T2C. They were 22.5 centimeters longer and considerably heavier than its predecessor, but now they were riding with a 1.6 liter 47 brake horsepower motor. Not as much power as the very last models, the 1500cc's with 51 horsepower, but we'll get back up there. An updated from the original swing axle rear suspension to a half shaft axles fitted with considerable velocity joints. This made it a little bit smoother ride. This raised the height without the wild changes in camber and updated the bus's transaxles are sawed off by changes in the camber. These updates to the rear axles are highly sought after by off-roaders due to the fact that they're so easy to put lifts on and the way they manage off-road abilities. That's why the Type 2, the second generation of the Type 2 microbus, had a four-wheel drive version. In 1971, the Type 2 featured a new 1.6 liter engine with a dual intake port on each cylinder head, good for 50 brake horsepower. And by 1971, disc brakes were now added to help cool the road wheels. We all know we got to cool them down and make it a lot easier than those big drum brakes. 72 came a bigger 1.7 liter and 2 liter engines from the Volkswagen Type 4. So now we're getting parts from the second model lineup from Volkswagen. Got to remember, the Type 4 was the second platform ever to be built. The original platform, which underpinned both the Type 1, Type 2, and Type 3, which would be the Volkswagen Beetle, the Microbus, and the Karmann Ghia, were all built off the same platform, where the Type 4, the Transporter, came off a new one, which they called the Pancake. Larger air inlets were added to cool the larger engines, and this Pancake motor finally added an automatic option for the model in 1973. You gotta remember, these things came out in 1949, and now it's 1973, and we're finally getting an automatic model. But this new Pancake motor made it so that these new microbuses had 66 horsepower riding underneath of us. In 74, a 1.8 liter engine was added, increasing us by one horsepower to 67. In 76, the 2 liter was up to 70 brake horsepower. And in 78, we saw the introduction of hydraulic valve lifters, which eliminated the need to adjust the valve clearances over time. As they always say, you know, my parents' days, when they got vehicles, it showed them how to set the valves and fix their headers. Where today, it just tells you not to drink the coolant. Big difference between that. But they had to be told how to adjust the valve clearances, because if you didn't, well, that was a pretty big job and pretty expensive job for you to fix. So they kind of had to warn people about those things. Everything back then was a lot more manual than it is today. From 1972 to 1973, the exterior versions included a relocated front turn indicators, a squared off and set higher in the valance. This square profile bumpers, which were standard until 1979, were there, but eventually were replaced by the good old chrome bumpers. The 1970s also saw the decrease in the size of the Volkswagen emblem from that massive big thing you remember in 1959 to the small little ones you see at the very front of that Type 2 microbus from Back to the Future. During the 70s, Volkswagen played around with the four-wheel drive system for the Type 2 as well. And from 1981 to 1985, Volkswagen did have a water-cooled diesel engine. Like I said, they were working on a four-wheel drive system, but never figured it out. And yet, there are people that have figured it out due to its brand new transaxle. Why? Because they got the torque they need for going off-road. All you need is a bit more ground clearance, and you can turn the microbus into a kick-ass off-roader, which we're going to get to. There is a new variation similar to that, built in Canada.
of places.
This water-cooled diesel engine was a 1.6 liter with 50 horsepower, and it gave back 15 to 18 liters per 100 kilometers in fuel economy, which in the 80s was actually pretty damn good. This would only be the best fuel mileage the bus would ever achieve in its lifetime. And unfortunately, those nice water-cooled diesel engines that yielded amazing fuel economy were only available in South America. By the 1990s, the T2Cs was moving in and continued production of the Type 2. In 91, the T2C was built in Mexico with a water-cooled 1.8-liter inline four-cylinder, now achieving 71 horsepower with carburation. This was easily identified by the black front-mounted radiator that you can clearly see. And if you actually take a look at the very last ones, the Combis, they were famous for having these black radiators mounted right on the front to keep them cool. In 1996, this engine got smaller for Brazil, with a 1.6 liter air-cooled engine started appearing. In 2003, we saw the end of production of the original Beetle, making the Type 2 the last surviving air-cooled rear-mounted boxer engine from Volkswagen and one of the longest-running platforms still in existence with the Type 2. On December 23rd, 2005, that all changed as Brazil shifted to water-cooled engines. This marked an end of the line for the air-cooled Volkswagen engines. The reason why? Water cooling can keep it cooler better than the air cool, because the air outside in Brazil areas, if you travel through the Amazon, you understand that it's hot. And using air-cooled engines, there's more of a possibility for them to overheat. A special edition Combi with silver paint scheme and a limited edition emblems appeared to mark the end of the air-cooled engine. 200 units were made from 2005 to 2006. But eventually, stricter emission regulations introduced by Brazil's government in 2006 forced a shift to flex-fuel water-cooled engines. And that's why the Type 2 was moving. They were able to run on both petrol and alcohol fueled vehicles, and not the alcohol like you think with Homer Simpson, you know, one for you, one for me. It's a different variation altogether. But this brand new motor was borrowed from the Volkswagen Gol and was engineered to be rear mounted. So it was actually engineered for production in the Type 2, even though the possibility of the Type 2 living on much longer meant that all those engineering dollars were going into something that may not last for much longer. Because with stricter emission controls in place and poor fuel economy, the bus was slowly dying out of favor. In 2013, Volkswagen announced the end of production for the Type 2. A production run of 600 last edition vehicles were produced. And similar to when the Volkswagen Beetle went out, a video commemorating the bus entitled Os Últimos Desejos da Combi, The Combi's Last Wishes, was made by Volkswagen Brazil and sent off for the model. Updated and dated model could not be done new, with new stricter laws for the drivers and passenger airbags and anti-lock brakes, and similar to that of the Viper, essentially, safety killed the microbus. Similar to the T3, the T4, T5, and T6 generations were made, but not like the original bus. These were the transporters. These models required updates, consumer demands from a new van. The T3 came around in 1979 and was introduced to the North American market. With boxy designs and the use of an air-cooled engine, the T3 was a modern bus. A switch to a water-cooled engine in 1983 helped keep the T3 on the roads, but that was until 1990 when we saw the introduction of the T4 transporter vans, and that's 1990 when the transporter name appeared. This was made to compete in a brand new MPV market, multi-personal vehicle, or as we call them in North America, minivans. This was similar to how the Gol was originally built to replace the original Type 1, which happened 15 years previous to this. Looks like it was slowly moving up in the world, moving away from its 1-to-2 vehicle product lineups. Camper options were still available, along with most modern requirements for vans. Pickup trucks were now completely gone. The sales of the Transporter ended in 2003 in North America, similar to that of when the Beetle ended production for the world. In 2003 saw the introduction of the new Transporter T5, which is used with both petrol and diesel engines. And that lasted until 2015 when the new T6 came out. Now in 2001, we got to see the original microbus concept, which was originally followed up in 2011 by the Bully concept, and then in 2016 by the Bud E concept. Volkswagen knew that the original microbus, and not the T3, T4, T5, and T6 generations of the Transporter, kept the same lines as the original microbus and its love affair with that bus. In 2017, we saw the introduction of the ID Buzz concept, a little bit more microbus than the past three concepts. This one was almost similar to the original. Unfortunately, new safety standards still have a play, and a front crumple zone has to be there now, which means you cannot have the driver literally sitting on top of the front wheels. So placing the driver further back and adding a crumple zone creates the new ID Buzz appeal, but they have tried to bring back some of the original microbus appeal with the multitude of windows, multitude of colors, and even the massive size Volkswagen emblem on the front. And in June of 2022, we finally got to see the original ID Buzz trying to bring back the original bus feel to us. In 2023, we saw the introduction of the camper concept, which has actually been put into production now as the Camper California. Yes, the bus is coming back. The nice thing is, with it coming back as the ID Buzz, it's coming back as an electric vehicle. It means we can push the seat more forward as we don't have to contend with the front drive engine. Similar to the Bully concept, the reason why the front of that vehicle was a lot bigger than what the original microbus would have ever had is because you can't put the engine in the back under the floor anymore. Well, you can, but with brand new safety features, it's not highly recommended. With electric vehicles, you could push people as far to the front as possible. And as we've all noticed while seeing the canoe products out there, you can have a massive amount of space in front of the front drivers now, creating a frunk in a minivan. It's kind of interesting for the days of today. But will the ID Buzz live up to the hype of the original microbus and become the new hippie bus of the future? It is electric. And if you do remember that part from when Homer met his mom for the first time and she escapes at the very end with the hippies, and he says, like, you gotta hurry up, there's only 10 minutes left of juice in this van. He's talking about the fact that their microbus was converted to being electric. So is the ID Buzz essentially what the hippies really wanted the microbus to be? Well, Volkswagen seems to think so. But unfortunately, I haven't seen anybody trying turn them into a hippie bus these days. Maybe that's a feature that we're all going to have to wait for in the future. So throughout the microbus's time frame, it has lived a great life with many different variations. But can the ID Buzz really be its future? Or is the future in the microbus lay in two counterparts that we have today, the eBusy and potential Motors Adventure? If you take a look at these two products, they essentially symbolize what was great about the microbus in the past. The eBusy has a similar design and many different variations of it, while potential Motors and their Adventure gives us that product that Brazil was engineering back in the 80s, our four-wheel drive microbus that we always wanted to go off-road. We get it. We have the ID Buzz and we have the electric hippie bus for the future. But can Volkswagen do better? That is the question you have to ask yourself. Can they make it better? So the microbus, from 1949 to 2013, the last remnants of the original Type 1 platform. If you go back in history and you find out who commissioned and created the original platform, you might be a little discouraged about its past. But the man who designed and built it, his car company, is still in existence today. Funny thing is, it's now owned by Volkswagen. That's Ferdinand Piëch. He helped build the original Type 1, and in a sense, helped in the creation of the Type 2. The microbus is an amazing van that lived a very long time. And similar to that of some of our past podcasts about the Type 1 Volkswagen Beetle and the Jeep Wagoneer, the Type 2 is one of those vehicles that rode a very long life on its original platform. Maybe in today's world, we'll see that with the Tesla Model S, but we'll just have to wait and see. So if you like that podcast, please like, share, or comment about it on any of the major social feeds or streaming sites that you found us on. From Spotify to iTunes, you can find the Autolux podcast on every major streaming site or social feed that you find. And if you'd like to talk to us about this, send us an email over at email@autolux.net. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love to hear about your past experiences with the microbus and tell us your journeys, adventures, anything that you've done with this. Were you one of those people that actually built one of those four-wheel drive variations of it? Or did you literally strip it down, make it into a lowrider? Pretty cool. All from the Autolux website. The Autolux podcast is brought to you by Ecom Entertainment Group and distributed by podbeam.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, send us an email over at email@autolux.net. So for myself, Everett J, the Ecom Entertainment Group, and the autolux.net website, strap yourself in for this one fun wild ride that the microbus will take us on.